Listeners be advised. The Holiloquy podcast discusses matters related to the human experience and many that are sexual in nature. Due to this, some conversations may surround triggering topics such as sexual violence, self-harm, abuse, and much more. Please be advised. A list of crisis and psychological resources will be available in the show notes of this episode. With that said, let's get started with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please, as we go through the following safety instructions.
In the event that there is a loss of cabin pressure, oxygen mask will drop from the overhead. Place the mask over your nose and mouth. Breathe normally as oxygen is flowing even if the mask is not accessible. Be sure to adjust your own mask before helping others.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Holiloquy podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. This is your favorite host, Vernon T. Scott, also known as Slater Jackson. And for you freaking motherfuckers out there, Sebastian Adams. On today's episode, we're aging a little bit. We're talking about age ranges. We're talking about, hey, is it okay for this 55-year-old to be dating this 30-year-old? We're going to be talking about a lot of different things, opening our perspectives, just having an honest conversation. And joining me for this topic is Tyrell. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. I am so glad to be back. Season three, of course, we are three times as better. And as we age like wine, baby.
Bitch, yes, yes, let these motherfuckers know. Yes, I like that. I like that. So, all right, y'all, just so y'all know the general rule, we do two episodes where, you know, the guests introduce themselves. After that, if you don't know who they are, that's your problem. That's your fault. Because, look, Tyrell's been here for three whole seasons. If y'all don't know who he is, that's your fault. I'm not gaslighting. I'm just telling you the truth. You need to go back and like listen to some things. Listen to the old episodes. Catch up too. Like, look, you can probably start at like episode one if you want to. You know, if you want to be a real motherfucker, you want to be a real nigga or some shit like that. I don't care whatever you do. Join the Patreon if you're really trying to be a real nigga, okay? But you don't have to like, come on. I'm not going to ask him to introduce himself again. So, for the last time, Tyrell, who the fuck are you?
Hello, everybody. I am Tyrell. I am born and raised here in Atlanta, Georgia. I am currently a doctoral student. If you, like Vernon has said, if you've been following since season one, you know that I've been on this doctoral journey for quite a minute. I'm trying to get it to come to an end, y'all. I'm trying. So hopefully that doctor will be behind my title next year. We're going to speak that into existence. But any more than that, I am a English scholar, teacher, tutor, writer. I am also a very sex positive enthusiast, same gender loving gentleman, and also a part of the poly community.
Yes, and we love it. We love it. And by the time this episode airs, that doctor's going to be there. It's going to be secured, okay? Depends on what month. Yeah. But you know what? Regardless, it's coming next year, next summer. Look. Oh, and for those people who don't understand how these recordings work, I have a busy life. And because of that, I have to pre-record a lot of things. So I don't know exactly what's going on in the world at the time that this episode releases. Hopefully things are looking better. It will be like, oh damn, it will be 2024.
We could be in a zombie apocalypse. But listen, but look, we in a zombie apocalypse, but make sure you listen to the
Hillary. Listen, while they outside trying to kill your ass, you better be listening to this shit. Just think about that. Other people out here pow 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 shooting zombies and shit. You over here listening about sex.
Yeah.
You got them. Yeah. Oh, well, I'll fill you in what's going on the podcast when y'all get done. just kill them all. You know, we got
maybe the reason why the zombies want to kill everybody because they ain't having no sex. Like, we could be educating.
Look, see, the only reason why they became zombies is because they wasn't listening to the Holy Liquid podcast like they knew they were supposed to be doing. They didn't get the knowledge that they needed.
We up here saving the whole freaking world.
Look, listen, and is. Take that. I cannot.
And we ain't even having nothing to drink, y'all. That's the sad part.
Right. Oh my gosh. That's the one thing I love about Hovember. I'm going to be litty this year. I'm still not doing any weed, but I'm going to be litty this year for Hovember. I think there was only one episode I will actually consider myself as being drunk in from 2021. Yeah, I was gone. I think it was the episode where we were talking about P-Valley. Oh yeah. Bitch, I was lit. That was a good day. Listen, that was a good
we were just immersed too. In the show, like, so we had to be lit.
Exactly. Oh God. Okay, I need to stop. Okay. We're not in that moment. I'm sober. I've been drinking water. It's hot. It's summer. We're here. Okay. So I just had to recenter myself. We're talking about age ranges, right? So one of the things that we were talking about in the intake meeting was that there's a disconnect between younger and older men. And I believe it was in the context of like how there's the generational divide because there's no like when you think about the AIDS crisis and whatnot and how a lot of the older generation died off and they that meant that so many queer people just didn't have any actual guidance. Because of that, it just created a vacuum of insecurity, a vacuum of just distancing ourselves from other generations and whatnot. I believe that's where that conversation was rooted in. But what is your thoughts on the disconnect between younger and older men?
Yeah, I think it stems from a multitude of places, but just like some key places. Like you say, I think that the nature of the HIV and AIDS epidemic, like it exacerbated an already sensitive issue. So like a lot of older queer men, I'm not going to use the word it's not even the nature of the word jealousy, but it is to say like an admiration for younger men because of the fact that we now live in a time where, you know, it's not necessarily easy, but it's a little bit more socially acceptable to, you know, be out and, you know, be out and proud and, you know, things like that. So just like if you would think about any other kind of like age range, you know, kind of like structure where it's like the things that you enjoy, like say, for instance, like being in your 50s and your 60s may be a little bit different than when you were in your 20s and your 30s, you know, so thinking about where you are in life as opposed to somebody who's younger or even vice versa to somebody who's older, it just creates this mindset of a disconnect. And particularly for a same gender loving group that I'm a part of, where there's a lot of older gentlemen, I've heard a lot of gentlemen speak on the nature of they believe that sometimes like they were obviously the problem when trying to in a younger person pursuing them. And it wasn't because like they didn't like the person or they couldn't see anything with the person. But I think that mindset of you getting involved with somebody of a particular age, especially if that person is younger, you feel like I think what they were expressing is you feel like you're robbing them of like a not necessarily a life, but a certain time period of their life where they should be out dating, exploring, and you know, things like that. And if you ask a younger, you know, type of generation, it's like, no, you have a lot of younger people who are very intentional, who know what they want, who are not, you know, into quote unquote the scene and you know, things like that. So again, I think it's just a lot of times miscommunication. It's a lot of times fear, you know, because it's like if I'm in my 20s and my 30s, but yet I'm involved with someone who's in like their 50s. It's like, okay, well, this person is old enough to be my father. And so it's kind of like, okay, is that going to make like potentially introducing them to my family or to my friends, you know, awkward, you know, and, you know, just bringing up all these sorts of things that, you know, may or may not, you know, come up. But yeah, definitely, I think that for the native speaking specifically for the queer community, I think because a lot of things, and it's not to say that, you know, obviously older men, like they weren't having their fun, you know, like in their youth and, you know, things like that. But I do think that a lot of times having that fun came with a little bit more secrecy than now living today. And so that kind of disconnect and fear of how out do you actually want to be?
Yeah, like I think about the perception of it all, because I understand that fear, because looking on the outside, there's so many different narratives that a person will have prescribed onto them. That's not even the facts of the case. Like I know for myself, I definitely pursued older men in the past because I just found them attractive, and it wasn't one of those creepy situations. We've communicated and all this other stuff, and it was just fine and dandy. But not to say I wasn't interested in a relationship with them or anything like that, but my pursuit was for a particular reason. It was communicated of what that pursuit and the intentions were behind that. And I think we've become accustomed to a narrative that's not always rooted in the reality of the situation, which hurts those kinds of relationships between those people who have a significant age gap between each other. Like I've seen online where people are talking about, you can't be 36 and trying to date a 23-year-old, blah, 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 blah. But I'm like, this is a person who's both parties are relatively young, and they are mutually communicating with each other. Like for me, looking on the outside, so long as there's no manipulation involved, I don't give a damn what's going on within the relationship. Like I understand that aspect of robbing somebody of their youth and them not being able to explore all these other things, but there's a way to provide freedom to a person to do whatever the hell they want to do and have security in your relationship too.
Exactly. And just to give a little bit of context for listeners who are trying or again wondering, well, what does the nature of HIV and AIDS, you know, have to, you know, do with that or stem from that? And just to give a little bit of context, when of course, we live in a day and age where, of course, we know HIV AIDS is not, you know, necessarily a death sentence. And so, but of course, as we know, as the HIV and AIDS epidemic was very prevalent in its beginning, there were, you know, the nature before we had a lot of, you know, medication that we have now and things like that. The reason why particularly a lot of queer men of color, why we have such very drastic implications based on the nature of age, what age is because typically when the HIV and AIDS epidemic was at its height, a lot of men did not live to see past the age of 30 years old. Mm. And so with the nature of so many men dying young, it is to say that a lot of older same gender loving men who are now in their like 50s, their 60s and so on, you know, it's kind of like trying to reconceptualize your mind with the nature of, oh my God, like I made it through, you know, a very, you know, horrible, you know, kind of ordeal. And even for men who are living currently, you know, with HIV, you know, who are HIV positive, it is one of those things like you just have a very different lease on life. And so you tend to look at age a bit differently. So it's not just even the nature of just like, oh, like you're 53, that person is 32, you know, but it is to say that mindset, if you come from an era and a time where it's like, yeah, a lot of my, you know, queer friends were dying before we even reached the age of 30. You know, is something that, you know, you just, you can't take away from. And that's just a part of a lot of SGL men's experiences.
The Holiloquy podcast focuses on the variability of sexual expression. When it comes to sexual expression, we often depend on pornography to illustrate how one must perform sexually. For those who have not learned this by now, the stuff you see in porn is not real. Pornography provides a singular perspective of sexual expression that is not often the reality we see during our own sexual encounters. The Holiloquy podcast is a conversation that takes you outside of the compressed box of what many know about sex. Some of the topics we discuss includes kinks, condom usage, status disclosure, and past sexual experiences. The Holiloquy podcast steps out on sexual norms and recognizes that the norm is not the only normal. Subscribe today and join the conversation.
A lot of my, you know, queer friends were dying before we even reached the age of 30. You know, it's something that, you know, you just, you can't take away from. And that's just a part of a lot of SGL men's experiences.
You know, even though it's not to that extent, I wonder if many of us who are going through all this shit that is this pandemic that's still ongoing, and here it is in 2023, let's not lie about that, it's still going. But like, I wonder, once we are officially on the other side of it all, if many of us will have that same mindset because of the numbers of people that have been lost, not necessarily just through because of COVID, but because of everything that we've experienced within this time frame, which includes the police brutality, the many, many mass shootings that have occurred, be it at the grocery store, fucking elementary schools, high school, colleges, malls, just randomly on the street at a parade, all these places, all the mass exposures, like the wars, all these things. I wonder if many of us will be in that mindset of having that renewed appreciation for life, knowing that we're on the other side.
That's a really interesting concept. You know, I think in a lot of ways, I think you're right. It kind of will, just because I think like anything that happens, it always informs like the next generation, of course. And yeah, you know, I just think when it even comes to like the whole like dating and age, like I've always, you know, personally just speaking for myself, I've always been attracted to like older men, just because I've always been associated with being more, I guess you would say like more mature for my age, like that, like maturity is supposed to come at, you know, some sort of age, which is, you know, convoluted in itself. But I tend to have always had an older spirit about me. So I've typically like always been attracted to older men. Not that I don't find men, you know, men of my age to be attractive, of course, but I've just always, you know, I've always been enamored by the nature of just older men, you know, older spirit and things like that. But yeah, I think that the age range, and I think it's too, it's also exacerbated about, I know that people have this thing about age where it's like, I don't mind an age range, but I don't want to date so far of my age where it's like, okay, you're old enough to be my father, or like you're old enough to be my son, you know, or something like that. So I know that in talking to people, they have their own like philosophies about age. Like if you're like 38, because of the fact that you're, you know, almost, you know, in your 40s, you may not want to date anybody that is like 30 and under. You know, so you still want to, you know, be in that same kind of age, you know, kind of not gap, but, you know, kind of closing in on that age gap.
Yeah, that's, I'm a kind of like, I know for myself, I have my own personal dating range, which is pretty much plus or minus five years. Okay. So like for the youngest, probably 24 on up. And then for the oldest that I may go in terms of dating, 36, 37, or maybe 40. I might be able to a 40-year-old.
They got that salt and pepper thing going on, you know.
Look, when I tell you that's the one thing I'm looking forward to for myself, as soon as I start seeing these gray hairs, I'm like, bitch, you better go ahead and gray all the way fuck out because I am going to color the fuck out of my hair. I am. Y'all just be like, Vernon, you are too old to be having these colors, bitch, says who? Because they're in.
Like, and I'm talking even just, you know, not even from a queer perspective, but you know, because I do watch, you know, I don't watch a lot of reality television, but the reality TV I do watch is a lot of times centered in like dating shows and you know things like that. I'm like, our women out here, they are hot and bothered for these salt and pepper beans.
Look, I seen a lot of sexy salt and pepper in my day.
So, you know,
Child.
you gotta get it.
Anyways, as I reminisce on my hoeing, but yeah, I do have my age range when it comes for dating. I also have like, okay, the age range for like hookups is pretty much like 21 plus. Like, if we can grab a drink together, have great conversations, we can fuck. Like, essentially, that's where it's at. But like, I will say one of the things for myself that really drew me to a lot older crowd is the sense of the quality of the conversations that I will have. Like, when I engage with people my age or a little bit younger or just slightly older than I am, I don't get that rich conversation that I may have gotten with older people. And I hate that for myself. I hate that for the generation that I'm in because it should not be this hard to communicate with people within your age group. It doesn't make sense why it would be this tough, but I also have to attribute that to what we've been raised in, which is that instant gratification or just the having the 140 characters to make a statement and all that mess. It has hindered our ability to effectively communicate with each other, but at the same time, can we do a little bit better on that? But I will say that's the one thing that I appreciated most by engaging with people of older generation.
No, I definitely agree because a lot of times when I am speaking to gentlemen that are older, it's always one of those aspects, oh, like we are either talking on the phone or we're video chatting or, you know, because that's much more my preferred method of communication. And like you say, it's kind of like, I think because we live in such a social media age where we're having to type so many characters or, you know, we're having these kind of short, you know, conversations. A lot of times, I know speaking just personally for me, it's a lot of times like fleeting conversations. Like I don't mind starting out, you know, with texting, of course, because, you know, we're just getting to know each other. But at some point, I am not going to just be wanting to be on the app or, you know, wherever, like, hey, let's talk on the phone, let's video chat, let's see about, you know, whatever it is. And it doesn't necessarily even have to be something romantic, but even just like something platonic. Like, I don't just want to sit here and text with you all, you know, all the time. And lo and behold, get it into, you can't even call them conversations. They're more like one message text with the what you doing, or, you know, just. I'm like, as my eye, as for people who cannot see me, my eyes are clearly in the air. Like, I can't do, it's like I can't deal with this. So I do find the nature of most of the time when I am talking to older men, it is much more of a much more reciprocal energy, as I would say, conversation. Now, I have also had conversations with some older men that, you know, are kind of, they kind of creepy.
Yeah,
You
yes.
know, so yeah, let's not dismiss
There are
that.
those out there. There are those out there.
And I'm like, yeah, this is like kind of like not right. So
I don't like this energy that you're putting out
yeah,
there
and I think
for.
also too, like I say, also everything is also about intention as well, I think, because you know, like just say for instance, like one of my reality shows, dating reality shows I was watching just the other night. There was this gentleman who, like, this lady, she's like, you know, trying to find, you know, the one or whatever. And she had this suitor who was like, maybe I would want to say like 8 to 10 years older than her. And so she was like, oh, well, you know, like I've never dated, you know, someone of, you know, like that much older than I am. And, you know, he seemed, you know, really cool at first, but on the, like the very first meeting her, he gives her a gift. And so, you know, she's like, oh, okay. Like, what is it? And so it's like a little purse. Like it wasn't anything like that was too much, mm-hmm. you know, going on or whatever. So, you know, she played it off or whatever, but it's kind of like, you know, from her perspective, she's like, yeah, I can see why he did that. Like given his age and probably like an era that he comes from. Mm-hmm. And even in his confessional, he's like, oh, well, you know, like the time that I know of courting a woman, it's like, that's how you really make your intentions known. Like you value, you know, the nature of her time and her space by showing that you appreciate her. So you get her a gift. You know, but on the other hand, from her perspective, she's like, oh, you know, this is like a little too much. Like the gesture was nice, but you know, we're just meeting each other, you know? So like you giving me like a purse is like a little bit too much, you know? Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of like having those crucial conversations with people, because like, just think about it in the moment. You're just like, okay, you brought me this gift. Okay, we need to talk about this because I don't want to think the wrong thing about this. Yeah. So is this something that just comes off of just your generation, something that you do to all people? Mm-hmm. Like what's the gift for? Let's talk about it. Like,
yeah. And that's one of those things, like you don't have to shut the conversation down. And so it does open the nature of communication. And I know personally for myself, a lot of times when I have been talking to, you know, older men, they're very interested in the nature of like how I approach relationships, you know, being poly, the nature of side sexual identity, because it's like they find talking sometimes to like younger people like myself who know how to have conversations, who are able to express themselves. They find us enamoring just as much as we find them enamoring. So it can make for a lot of great, you know, conversations because you're learning so much from each other. Mm-hmm. You know, so like take personally for myself, one of the things I'm enamored by, I love hearing older men and they're like their sexcapades. I love hearing it. I love hearing that, you know, hey, you know, back when they were, you know, this age, when they were going out to this club or, you know, whatever, like these sorts of things just happen. Knowing that I've never been a club person. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, yeah, I've been to a club or two, but, you know, I don't frequent, you know, clubs. So it's always intriguing for me to hear like, just different experiences, but especially when they come from, you know, older gentlemen and like they're reminiscing, you know, about like, hey, you know, back then, you know, like I was getting it.
Yes, look, I'll be honest, one of the most interesting conversations I've had within the last year or so was listening to a great aunt talk about how she used to pull men back in the day, and I was like, auntie, carry on, because this is good. I was like, I might need to like add some more things to my repertoire, because auntie was giving out all the good tea that day. Yes. Oh lordy. So there was something I wanted to bring up, but it kind of escaped me. Hopefully it comes back. But one of the things that we discussed was the aspect of mentoring versus being sexual with people, most definitely when it comes to age differences, mm-hmm. how some younger people may want to reach out to someone that's older through the lens of getting guidance, yeah. and rather than through the lens of being sexual with them, and how mm-hmm. sometimes that same perception can be in reverse with either party, that an older gentleman or older woman, older person reaches out to someone younger in terms mm-hmm. in order to mentor them, and they see this being something sexual. So what is your take on that?
Yeah, I think that a lot of times, as we go back to like even that disconnect between generations, is that because we do lack that mentorship, part of the great group that I am a part of, we foster that. We foster the nature of, you know, reaching out when, you know, you need that connection. And we have, you know, gentlemen of all, you know, age categories in our group. And, you know, the nature of fostering mentorship is something that in general as men, and then especially as, you know, men of color, that, you know, we're not always accustomed to anyway. And then especially for queer men of color, that our earliest kind of associations with male figures is sexual. Like sometimes when I am on like social media, especially like Twitter thread, I am begulled by a lot of topics and threads about when people were first, like when people experience like their first sexual experience. And a lot of times it doesn't necessarily have to do with like having trauma surrounding first time, but you know, like as for instance, like rape or, you know, forced intercourse or anything. But yeah, just like guys saying like, oh yeah, you know, I was 15, 16 years old and I had a I had a relationship with somebody in their late 20s or, you know, in their 30s. And I'm like, that's not right though. Like, you know, even though you were of an age to like give your verbal consent, like that's still not consensual. So, you know, it's just to me, like there's like this disconnect with the fact that when you're in your early teens and 20s, the only way you know how to associate yourself with other queer men is to be sexual with them, you know? And it's not to say that, you know, older queer men are not guilty of, you know, sometimes not necessarily taking advantage, but, you know, being open to that opportunity. And I think that that's just something that has always been lost. I think for a lot of queer men of color, they, you know, they do find wonderful outlets, you know, they grow to have great mentors and have platonic friends, but with the nature of us being associated into the, especially with the age of social media and, you know, dating apps and stuff, a lot of times that mentorship, you know, kind of aspect is just, it's not present, you know? And I think that there's a lot of things that, you know, younger generation of men can learn from, you know, older and vice versa. And I think that, you know, that's just the way that the disconnect, you know, continues to create that gap, because we're not able to get over certain hiccups, you know, as I would say, you know, so.
And
I don't know what it would take, really. And, you know, I really don't have an answer for that.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know either, because I know just throughout everything when it comes to societal messaging and all of that, all you hear about men in general is that we're all about sex. So that's something that's already engraved in most queer men to begin with, because I identify as a man, they're saying that I'm supposed to be sexual, so let me go ahead and be sexual. And then it's hyper sexualized when it comes to actual queer sex. So now me identifying as a queer man, I'm already sexual. Now I have to be extremely sexual on top of that because of me being queer. So it's just a whole debacle of sexual expression and a strong need to change that, because you can be young and not be sexual. You can be a man and not be sexual. You can be all these things under the spectrum. You can be, you know, queer and not be extremely sexual. And I think because of that hypersexualization that happens, it also inhibits the way that we communicate, like you were saying with the what you doing mess, or how things are on the on queer apps, is because the push is engaging in sex and not engaging in actual conversation. Like I don't know how many times I've been told on different apps that, oh, this is not the app for that. This is not the app for that. This is not the app for that. Well, tell me the app where I could find someone that I can potentially date and have an actual conversation. Yeah. If every single app that I utilize to try to find that, you're telling me this is not the app, then what is the app?
Right.
Like, why can't we build healthy relationships?
Exactly. And then I also think, too, it's also about safety as well. I think that, you know, in order for, I think both, you know, younger and older generations to build those relationships, there has to be a safety that you feel with those you do it with, because, you know, you don't, like, a lot of times when I'm talking to, you know, particular older gentlemen, they may start out with statements like, oh, you know, I'm hope I'm not, you know, like sharing too much, or, you know, I hope you know, like, you don't judge me for this. And I'm like, no, I ain't got no, I don't judge. I don't have no room to judge, you know, but whatever. But it's always, you know, kind of starting off from like an apologetic standpoint, instead of just saying like, hey, you know, this is what it is, blah, 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 blah. And I think that, you know, fostering that safety, you know, to know that, hey, me as a younger person, as I'm trying to figure, you know, things out, if I get drunk one night, you know, and I need to call somebody, are you that person I can call that I can trust that would take care of me and wouldn't take advantage of me?
You know. And when you said safety, it brought me to a space of safe spaces. And I hate this for a lot of us, but I've learned over the years that it's hard to create a safe space for somebody who doesn't know what safety looks like or feels like. And even whenever I have conversations with other people and try to, you know, provide that understanding space for them, I've found it being more of a hassle to communicate with them because they don't recognize what's going on, or of saying, like, if there's a disagreement about something, like, hey, I understand that that's how you feel, then it's to, like, let's say if it's a specific sex act, I'm like, oh, well, that just sounds like we might not be a good match together, and that's okay. And then next thing you know, I'm getting called out of my name. And it's just like, whoa, where are we coming from? Let's not do that. This is just, you know, conversation. This is just acknowledging what's the reality here. It's just not a good match. Or having the ability to just say, no, I'm just not interested, and having that respected.
And then, you know, not to shade, and this is definitely not to shade older, you know, older gentlemen, but there is also the classic case, just like any in any other, you know, type of circumstances where it's like, okay, you know, you kind of a little bit of age to be doing, you know, to be doing the same things that you were doing 20, 30 years ago, where it's like, okay, you know, can we, you know, mature, you know, a little bit. So what I'm specifically referring to is like, you know, like I say, for a lot of, you know, especially same gender loving queer men, because of the fact of, you know, not having that expectation to live past 30, you know, during the nature of HIV and AIDS, it makes it so that a lot of queer men of color like to hold on to, not necessarily just their youth, but preserving a lot of things that they still do, you know, to this day in their youth. So like the whole nature of, there is nothing wrong with like going to the club, you know, one turn up, you know, things like that. But it gets to the point, just like with anything, if you are in a club like 5 out of the 7 days out the week, like something's wrong. Like something's wrong. Like that's you doing a little bit too much.
No, I agree. I've seen people, and this is outside, well, technically the person I'm thinking of right now is within the queer community, but I've seen it outside of that person too, but I've seen it, seeing so many people who are so readily, like always available to drink a lot, party all the time, stay up late, and, you know, just go crazy with the alcohol and shit. And I'm like, but you're 50, your body is not able to do that anymore. Like, what's going on? What's really going on with you right now? Because ain't no way that you can be partying every single day at the drop of the hat. Like, why do you have that much liquor for one? Why is it that you're always ready to party? And what is fueling all of this? Because you're spending more time drunk than spending time with your family sober. Right. And that I personally have a problem with that. Yeah. You might not, but I do.
Yeah. And it's, and you know, I don't like, you know, I don't like the saying of like act your age, because I don't think that there's anything like, no two people are the same. And so, you know, 50 on one person is going to look differently than 50 on another person. So, you know, it, I think for a lot of, especially, you know, queer people, is that, you know, you think that, okay, you know, I'm pushing this age or I'm pushing that age. So, you know, you want to try to recapture or, you know, hang on to as much of youth as you can. And then some people are just very vibrant, you know, like they, you know, there's that saying, like, you're only as old as you feel, you know, true, and that's true. A very true statement. But I also think that statement comes with a caveat. It's okay, you know, if you are in, you are 55 and, you know, like, hey, I may be 55, but, you know, like physically, you know, I feel like I'm in my like early 30s, you know, like yes. I still, you know, I got it. There's a difference between that and, you know, like we're mentioning you continuing to do something, an activity or something that's a pattern of behavior that is like unbecoming of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, I feel like you do not need to be, which I don't like this for younger adults, more or less older. Same. Like, why are you up at the drop of a hat just getting into random arguments with folks? Like, now, and you want, and you know, as they talk about, you know, the community, like sometimes, oh, I'm like, oh, and like, man. I say, I don't even like that for younger people, more or less on an old, you know, an F, somebody old.
Man, I agree with you. I think that's the, that touched the nerve on that one, because like we can have. Whatever it is that's really stressing you out, like I need people to recognize that in this moment, this person who said this one thing or whatever the case is not the reason why I'm mad. This is not the reason why I'm mad. I can actually talk to them like a whole ass adult. Like I remember a couple weeks ago, actually, I was at one of the gas stations that served food. I was getting something to eat, and the people were behind the counter. They were fixing some like stuff that they need to bring out later on. And this dude, he was already there. He walks away to go use the bathroom. And then I ended up getting in front of him in the line. And he comes back and he's trying to rush them. And he, they start fixing my food. And he's like, oh, but y'all couldn't be out here when I was over here. I was like, dude, calm down. It's not that deep. Like they're fixing the food. They had to do something in the back. And it's okay. I literally told this man, it's really not that deep. Like just like, what the hell is wrong with you? I asked him that part, but, and he calmed down for a little while. And then when the lady started to ask him what it is that he wanted, now I was like, oh, now y'all can do this. I was like,
so he got a problem with that.
Like, he was like, you know what? I don't need this. And he walked away. He cussed at one of the people behind the counter. And I was like, what? What is this?
Like, what is going
like,
on?
Like, can we not, right? What can we not just have a conversation? Like, can we just talk to people like they're humans? If you're upset about something, be upset about that. These people who are at this job, at this place, did absolutely nothing wrong. They were doing their job. They were not available to help you because guess what? They have other qualities of their jobs that they have to do. Shut exactly. the fuck up or leave. Go to fucking McDonald's exactly. and wait.
Whatever like, recognize you are free to go elsewhere.
Right. Like, oh.
So, yeah, I cannot. And then, you know, also the two thing about age gap as well, you know, you are going to meet some people who, and I think this is just a matter of being older or younger, people who are just setting their ways. Mm. Like they just, no matter what you talk with them about, to try to get them to see other perspectives, you're not trying to sway their opinion or, you know, whatever. But I tend to live in a world where, and even I teach this to my students, I'm like, as an English instructor, I tell my students, we're in this class not just to learn about writing, but we are here to learn about a balance of perspective, a prism of mm-hmm. perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I need also that in my life. I can't be with somebody, no matter if they're older or younger, with somebody who just has a very rigid view of the world.
That part.
You know, I need you to be open to knowing that, yeah, there are going to be other, not necessarily just points of view, but various experiences. And if you can't sympathize and understand that or come out of your bubble mm-hmm. that you live in, you know, we not a good match for each other.
One thing I've learned over the years is maturity has no age. Perspective, lack of perspective has no age. Ignorance has no age. Lack of education has no age. A lot of shit does not have an age to it. And you can find the same shitty quality of a person, well, toxic quality that a person may have with someone who's an older adult, and you can find that in younger adults, is going to be there. Mm-hmm. The question is if they're ready to deal with that and exactly. work through that and grow from that. Because if they're not, you just need to find somebody else.
Exactly. Now, something that is interesting that I've noticed a lot, and like I say, I watch a lot of dating, you know, reality shows and things like that. One of the common things that I'm noticing in like heterosexual, you know, kind of dynamics is women particular being a lot more forthcoming when it comes to getting to know guys who yes. are within a particular certain age range and whether or not they want children or not. Because a lot of women feel like, listen, I already have children, so I'm not trying to get it seriously involved with a man who still wants children because like my, you know, it's kind of like my shop is closed. This store is closed. Like, you're not getting no more children from me. So, you know, but I see that being a trend with a lot of like shows that I'm watching that particularly like a lot of women are being more intentional. And it's not just with the nature of age, but thinking that, you know, men of a certain age, either they have kids or if they don't have kids, maybe it's because they don't want kids. And it's kind of like, ooh, a little bit of that, not necessarily red flag, but it's kind of like, oh, we just have different wants. Because it's not a wrong thing to want kids at any point, you know, really, mm-hmm. like in your life. But it is to say that if you certain things that you do want, you do have to take age into consideration.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing that, okay, do I really want to pursue this with someone, knowing that this is, and when it comes to the subject of kids, I'm sorry, there's a lot of things that couples can work through and work around, but the nature of kids to me is not one of them. Either you want kids or you don't. Yeah. Now, I think the nature of how you have kids can always be an open conversation, which I think mm-hmm. a lot of men need to seriously sit down and open themselves up to, because I think a lot of men get into this notion of, oh, like when I want a child, they only think about having a biological child. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, what if your partner is unable to have children? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like there is medical complications based on family history about the reason why your partner can't have children. So I think that men need to do a better job at that. But in general, in speaking, children is one of them deal breaker conversations. Mm. Either you want them or you don't.
Yeah. You know? And I that is something that people do need to be more intentional about discussing. And I also agree that a lot more men do need to open their perspective on what that looks like of having kids and getting to that point where the kids are here. And I was when you were talking, I was thinking about, have you ever seen the show on Netflix, Young, Famous, African? Young, Famous, and African?
I've heard of it. Mm-hmm.
So on there, season 2, which is good. I love the show. definitely recommend for anybody who has not seen it. But one of the men on there, I forgot his name, but he's new to the show. He came in season 2, but he mentioned how for his 30th birthday, he wanted to have a kid, or he wanted to have a kid by a certain age. And in doing so, when he meets women, that's one of the things that he let them know. And I love that he does have that conversation with them, but he also is willing to find a surrogate in order for him to have that child, which was something that I didn't even think about. And that was like, okay, I like this. He knows what he wants. He knows that he wants to be a parent, and there's some trauma that's going on related to why he wants the kid. You have to watch the show to understand what that trauma is, people, because I'm not giving that to you.
What you're saying is like he has a plan though for his life, regardless mm-hmm. if a partner is with him or not. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And this is so that he can have his biological child. And that's something that people may most definitely men might want to think about. If you have a partner who is unable to have a child and you want to have a biological child that comes from your sperm and all of that, are you willing to go that surrogacy route? And also you have to look and see how much that costs and what kind of commitment that takes. So like that really kind of blew my mind just hearing about his approach to having children, because I didn't even think about that. Of course, in the mindset of me and a future partner, I've thought about that, but I didn't ever think about it in the lens of someone who may be in a heterosexual relationship or heterosexual presenting relationship.
And that's just one of those aspects where it's like, okay, your wants, you know, like are really like to the forefront. Like if you want and you desire a child, then that's one of, like you said, that's one of those conversations that has to be upfront. And as we're talking about age, it's like, yeah, because no matter how you, you know, represent to the world, we all got that, you know, I think like that biological, you know, that ticking, that clock that, you know, is ticking. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, sometimes, and a lot of times it's kind of like you're wanting more of the child than you want the relationship. So, you know, so it's like, you know, I want the child. I could either do with or without you, you know, kind of, you know, scenario. But yeah, it's very interesting, though, as I'm seeing like this trend in this pattern. And usually it's coming from women who I typically see are like in like their like mid to late 30s. Mm. You know, a lot of women, you know, are just, and you know, I'm just so proud of, you know, how women are being, you know, more forthcoming with the things that they want and the things that they don't want. So that's kind of one of those things, like I say, it's not a red flag. It's not a, you know, red flag at all that, you know, you want children, but it is to say, like, thinking about reality wise, listen, I am 37 years old. Like I already have, you know, two children. And especially if you have children that are older, it's like, I ain't trying to start that process over again.
Look,
like, no, like this is close. Like this is close. And a lot of times women will say that's one of the reasons why they prefer to date men who also have their own children.
Mm.
You know, so there's a good chance that, oh, that man may not be wanting any more children as well. And, you know, as long as, you know, you have a semi, you know, decent relationship or a working relationship with whoever the baby's other parent is, or, you know, whatever, we can, you know, work through that. But, you know, just that whole, you know, thinking about as you get to certain places in age, how certain things become more or less important to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, that, and, you know, and not just with the subject of kids, you know. A lot of times what discourages, I think, older men from being with younger men is because, you know, typically when you've gotten to a certain age point, you know, you are a bit more stable, you know, with the nature of your life. And that's not to say that young people are not stable, but, you know, you may have this mentality that, no, like, that's the reason why I don't deal with, you know, people of a certain younger age is because, listen, I've lived, you know, that part of my life in my 20s or my early 30s and things like that. So it's like, I need somebody who's like out of that stage of life, you know,
got their shit together a little bit.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I get that. Well, the last topic before we go into the never have I ever, just, I guess, let's try to make this a quick one. But it's, well, we kind of touched base on it a little bit earlier, and that's just a concept that the differences in age ranges is not always rooted in pedophilia, because I've seen people stigmatize differences in age towards that, saying that, oh, this person is at the young people, they're a pedophile, all this other stuff. Yeah. And it's like, you don't even know if these people knew each other before they even started dating. So how can you, like, you know, associate those two things? But you have two adults who, well, societal adults who are engaging with each other, and they like each other, and they are in a relationship. And I think that stigma related to that kind of connection is what hinders the healthiness of those types of relationships where there is an age gap between the two partners.
Right. I definitely do not like the narrative of even just, you know, there's a lot of young people that get put on like the sex offender list because they were like 19, 20 years old and had a relationship with somebody who was like 16, you know, 16 or 17 years old. And it's just because by eyes of the law, I, you know, of course, you're technically a legal adult at the age of 18. But, you know, it is not to say that, oh, just because, you know, these two people like went out, you know, for like a certain, you know, period of time, you know, being 16 or being 19, that, you know, there was something like all the way inappropriate going on. And what I mean by all the way inappropriate, like there was just no type of consent that was being given, you know, from one end or both ends. So, you know, it's kind of like how we think about like in school, how like when you're in high school, like when you are like 17, 18 years old, like you're technically a senior in high school. So it's like, oh my God, like I would never like go out with a freshman, like who's like 15. Cause and even if, you know, because it's like in the mindset, you feel like I am much more older than that. But in actuality age, you're just like 2 to 3 years older.
Yeah.
So that it's not really that much of a difference in physical age. And I think that those things become less important to us as we get older, of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because it's like a 3 year age range between 33 and 36 is not, you know, anything to look past. But when you're younger, it is, you know, it kind of is, you know, so yeah, I definitely agree that this whole notion about pedophilia or, you know, young people being on the sex offender list and things like that. Yes, of course, there are incidents, horrific incidents that, of course, you know, do happen. But a lot of times I really do be feeling bad for a lot of people who have been in consensual, you know, relationships. And just because of the eyes of the law, technically, because you're supposedly an adult at 18, like there's something that magically transforms in me, you know, at 18. Like I really have never understood that.
I've hatched from my cocoon.
Right.
Fuck with you caterpillars no more.
Yeah. It's like, oh, the day I turn 18, it's like, oh my God, like I am man, I am woman.
Right. I don't even know anything about life, the truth. But like, I agree, because like in those contexts, most definitely with younger people, these people may have been to high school together. These people may have known each other in the neighborhood for most of all of their life. And like these people, let's say family, friends, or what have you, they've known each other. 5 year difference, and this person always had a crush on this other person. They're older and what have you, brother's friend, sister's friend, I don't care, whatever that relationship looks like. And they get a little bit older, same high school, like I said, somewhere within that they start talking to each other while this person's back home from college in a relationship forms. I'm sorry, that's not pedophilia. It's really not.
And that's the thing, like I can see like having reservations about it, even when, because like I say, I think there's a really big stigma about it when you're younger. Like I say, I don't think that people, like you look twice about being 35 and the other person's 40. You know, like that's really like nothing that people like look at. But there's a difference, obviously, if you are 15 going out with a 20-year-old. You know, because it's like in the eyes of how we associate society, it's like, no, you're like 15 years old. You're like a freshman, sophomore in high school, and you're involved with somebody who's of like college age, you know, like pushing that, you know, like 21 age, like pushing that 21 age, you know. So, you know, like I say, it's one of those things that's a very slippery slope.
Yeah. And like, I personally, I reserve that like terminology for like those people who's like 36 trying to fuck with somebody that's 15, 16, like, fam, what are you doing?
Right.
Gross. But like, when it's young people, I need for us to start to have nuance in how we approach these conversations. Was there coercion involved? What is the dynamics of this relationship? How long have they known each other? Or is there any aspect of grooming within this? Like, what's going on here? Before we start to label somebody as such and try to put them on this list of being considered a sex offender, let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
Like it's not hard to do that. And so many people's lives have been ruined all because they happen to be 19 years old and hooked up with somebody that happens to be 17.
Yeah.
And that's just two separate years.
Yeah.
And that's for states where the age of consent is 18, where you see stuff like that very often. Yeah. And it's like, it's ridiculous. Like, exactly. As soon as they graduate and they hook up, what's the difference? They're still going to be 2 years apart.
Yeah, because even like people will ask me a lot of times because of the fact I am obviously a little bit more closer in age with my students. And, you know, though as the years go on, that gap gets more and more, you know, older. But a lot of times people will ask me, well, you know, Tyra, like, are you ever like attracted to like students and, you know, things like that? And my answer always is the same. I'm like, yeah, of course there are attractive students. Like there's attractive people. Like that's not anything to like shy away from or hide from. But a lot of times the things that you will see like in higher education is that legally there is no consequence, right, to having a relationship with a student. Like as long as like that student is 18 or over, there's nothing against the law about it. However, there are ethical implications about it because of the fact if you are somebody of a higher authority and influence over a student, it's very looked down on ethically. And you could have job ramifications because of it. You know, so that's what my thing is like. I often always say, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Exactly.
You know, and if you and somebody who have a bit of an age difference or you are a person of, you know, influence and authority over them, you know, I'd be like, okay, once you graduate in a few years, like, you know, hit me up, you know, like we'll get something popping.
Right. Look, I remember when I was working in housing, and you know, of course I'm on the apps because I'm grown. And if I'm going to find me something off campus, I'm going to find me something off campus. But there was a student that hit me up once and I was like, they called me Mr. Scott and all this other stuff. So I'm like, you know me then. And there was like, oh, when you gonna come over and let me do, I was like, we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. No, we're not doing that. No. One, I live with you all. That's a boundary I'm not crossing.
No, and then next thing you know, your business all out there in the street. Mm-hmm. Like, no.
Mm-mm. No, no. Mm-hmm. And I was like probably 2-3 years older than this person at the time.
But
still,
no,
we're not. No. Mm-mm.
No.
You know,
I feel like that's always too. Like, that's always karma as well. It's because it's kind of like, okay, if I do it once, like, it's not going to hurt or anything like that. But my thing has always been this, like, even though I wouldn't do it now, that's not to say I wouldn't be open to it in the future. Because my thing is like, if something is meant to be, it's gonna be. So, you know, of course, like I have the mentality like, no, I would never like be involved with one of my students, you know, like in any type of fashion, you know, sexually or whatever. But I'm like, you know, once you graduate and, you know, sure, like our paths, you know, can cross, you know, at some other point in the future, like it ain't to say like it's completely off the table.
Exactly. Like I know once I graduated, I sure as hell hooked up with somebody that was an employee.
Let them know.
No, not. This is when I like after I graduated from undergrad, and it was somebody who worked at my undergrad institution. And yeah.
Ooh, that's
life. And just to be real on it, there was a 20-year age gap on that one. And life is good. I had a good time. Anyways, so you ready for some Never Have I Ever?
Of course.
So never have I ever been skinny dipping.
Been skinny dipping. I haven't, but I want to.
Oh, so I've done that. It was this 2023. Yeah, it was this year, back in March. Okay. It was so that cabin trip I went on. So there was a pool and we were all up in there naked. It was a lot of fun. Was a lot of fun. Just happiness and playing volleyball and shit. It was a good time. It was a really good time.
Yeah,
beautiful bodies, nudes, and it's
yes.
Everyone should do it at least once in their life. It's a good time. It is a good time.
Yeah, I would love to.
Let's see. Let's do a would you rather. So, would you rather go out for a wild night on the town or have a cozy, intimate evening at home? I know this one.
Like, you don't have to ask. Mine would be cozy, intimate, like at home. Everybody knows, like I say, this season three. If you don't know, go back and listen. I'm a homebody to the end. Like, not like I'll say there's a little bit of a caveat. It depends on what kind of wild we talking about. Like, I ain't gonna be drag racing in the street or whatever, but but if we talking about, I may be in the mood to have, some sort of wild night, that is wild but safe. I think that there's an exclamation. I think that there's an asterisk there that you can have wild fun that's not dangerous, or anything like that. So, you catch me on a, on a night that, a little pre-plan, because I'm not really a spontaneous person. So I don't like things to happen too in the minute or, on the in the moment. But, wild night could be something, every blue moon, I would be up for. But no, but basically, like, in majority circumstance, everybody knows I'm a homebody. So I always love cozy, intimate evenings in.
Well, just from what we were talking about before we started this conversation, I'm telling you, go ahead and shake some tables. Shake a little few tables tonight. For myself, I do enjoy me a good day at home, being cozy and just being present. That is what I prefer any day. And I'm kind of like you. If I'm going to have a wild night, I need there to be some responsibilities because I'm trying to make it home and make it home safe because some people just be doing the absolute most, and I'm not that person. I'm not him. Y'all got that. Would you like a sex question?
Sure.
All right, so which sounds more thrilling to you during a sexy scene? Wearing a blindfold, a gag, or noise canceling headphones?
I would say a blindfold. I would be open to having a blindfold on. Like, as much as I am a visual person, I like to see things and things like that. I love to also use my imagination as well. So I wouldn't mind being blindfolded.
For me, I'm mad that it's not two because I love to say both of them, but I have to say all of them. Put it all on me at the same time. Do this full sensory deprivation, bitch. I don't need to know what's going on. Most definitely, if I already trust this person that I'm engaging with, bitch, do whatever the fuck you want to me. Oh my God. But if I have to choose one, I will probably do the blindfold as well, just so I don't expect everything that's about to happen. Well, I can't, so I don't see it. I just have to just wait until it actually occurs, and be a little bit more present in that sense.
Absolutely.
With that being said, Tyrell, do you have any last words that you would like to share with the audience before I close this out?
Ooh, just to everyone that is listening, just always remember, no matter if you're dating older or younger, just remember to continue to be your beautiful and fabulous self. One of the main aspects that can hinder a relationship, I think, being with someone older or younger is the nature of power dynamics. And power dynamics tend to shift and change depending on what is happening. It could be age, it could be race, it could be economic background. And to just know about the kind of power dynamics you are entering with being involved with someone who is older and younger. And so, just making yourself aware that, those power dynamics are going to exist, and whether or not they are healthy for you or not, you're going to have to determine that on your own. But hopefully, listening to us, you are making wonderful and wise decisions for yourself.
Yes. And also, always remember to keep consent at the forefront.
Yes.
So, thank you so much, Tyrell, for coming on to the
Thank you for having me.
podcast. To the audience out there, thank you all so much for listening to the Holiloquy podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. Just in case no one else told you this today, you are beautiful, you are worthy of happiness and joy, you are enough and then some. You may not live up to the expectations of others, but that is okay. You are only required to walk in your own shoes. May each day you live lead you towards abundance. With that said, love you all, and I'll see you next episode. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Holiloquy Podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. You can subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcasting app and find us on the web at www.holiloquy.com. That's www.HEAUXLILOQUY.com. Share the podcast with your friends and join the conversation.